Hi, I'm Kiara, and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing your divine feminine power. I'm so excited to be here chatting with Caroline Southwell today. Caroline Southwell loves conscious entrepreneurs, and through coaching, writing, and speaking, she supports, empowers, and inspires women who love their work and wish to make greater change in the world, and do so through being their most amazing self. The reason that I'm super, super excited to talk to Caroline today is that she also talks about this thing called human design. So I'm pretty keen to hear some more about that. Hi, Caroline. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Kiara. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. You're one of the first people I wanted to talk to when I decided to do a podcast. Because this human design thing, right? I heard about it when I got my first ever business coach and she asked me to tell her what human design I was, and I had never heard of it. And I've done quite a lot of like personality tests and things like that. Can you tell us a bit about human design and why it's different to those other things?
So first, I don't want to claim that I've gone through and done every single personality profiling test, but I can tell you that from my experience, both personally and professionally, of playing with different ones, for the most part, I find some personality profiling tests are interesting. It's like, oh yeah, cool. I'm a like powerful, popular, as opposed to a like prudent, such or other else. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But what do I do with that? Mm. There are others like, say, the DISC profile that are useful. And I think what I really like about human design is that it goes as deep as you dare to go. Like, there is so much depth to it. And what I find is that there was things that I learned in human design that about myself in how to show up in relationships, in life, in business, that I had not ever heard anywhere else ever. And when I started to apply it, I saw fundamental positive shifts in my life and my business and my relationships. So I think the biggest thing is that if you can go crazy, crazy deep with it, like, you know, you can go and study this in depth at the International Human Design School for like 10 years. Like, it goes so crazy deep. What I found, Kiara, is that even if you learn the basics, like anywhere you see Caroline Southwell, you'll see a hashtag of like human design basics anytime I'm talking about it, because there's like that top 5% of information that most people don't want to go study it for 10 years. They're like, ah, whatever. It's like trying to study a whole, I don't know, like culture and language and everything, right? Mm-hmm. But just to apply the like type, strategy, and authority, which we can talk about a bit more, just to understand those things and apply them to your life, unlocks doors that you didn't realize you were butting up against walls.
Okay. Wow. That is like the most exciting, like, first thing that anyone has ever said on a podcast. Because it makes it sound like it's got answers that we didn't even know we had questions for.
And it has solutions for things that we didn't realize were a problem until we look at it, and then we go, holy crap, I wish, like, the number of times I've had clients say to me, especially like I've had a few, especially if they're like in their 40s and still struggling, and they go, oh crap, I wish somebody could have told me this when I was like 5, right? Because we've been conditioned to think, just work harder, just push harder, just struggle more, hustle more, right? And in all this pushing, we just get so used to thinking that that's the way it needs to be. Mm. You know, when I was doing a group course with a whole bunch of generators last year, so the majority type, the majority energy type, I use the analogy of if you're ignoring your design and you're just following your conditioning and following the shoulds and what you've been told to do, it's like trying to swim upstream, right? But if you've always been swimming upstream, then it's always felt hard and you don't know any different. Mm. And I said, as soon as you start to feel safe about and follow your own design, it's like you stop swimming and you let the stream carry you down, the water carry you downstream. And then you go, holy crap, this is so easy. How come nobody told me that it was allowed to be and it could be this easy? So we've all been struggling for so long and then we just go, what if I just let go? We're naturally designed to do relationships. Well, and everything in life and business is about relationships, really, everything.
Yes.
So it's about doing relationships in a way that is like letting the water carry you downstream.
I love this, Caroline. It's because it's such a big part of my own journey. I used to work really hard and push and push and follow, like, you know, I should be working this amount of hours and things like that. And now when the energy and the, like the enthusiasm just isn't there, I go away. Like, I go clean my house. Like, that's what I've been doing for the last day and a half. Or I just go do something else. And then I find that if I just follow that flow, like maybe while I'm cleaning the house, because that's where my flow went, then I found something or heard something in my head that I understood differently, and then I could go back to what I wanted to do in the first place in a different frame of mind. And yeah. I find that following flow is one of the biggest lessons I've had to learn and one of the biggest things I want to share with people. So I'm so excited about you talking about human design like that.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the types and how we might be able to have an understanding of which one we are?
Okay. So I want to answer the second part of that first.
Cool.
So the place to start is by finding one of the, there's several like websites that allow you to download your own free human design chart. And to do that, all you need to do is have your correct date of birth, time of birth, and location of birth to the nearest big city. And then that allows you to print out your chart. Now, the trick is then looking at the chart that looks like hieroglyphics and go, what do I do with this? I don't understand. And most websites will then sell you a cheap version of, oh, let me interpret your chart, which I've just found for the most part to be not even worth the $15 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I tend to tell people, well, if you want to buy it, great, but you know, you're better off watching some YouTube videos on specifics of type, strategy, and authority. Or you can pay hundreds of dollars to have somebody read your full chart, in which case it's like being told, okay, we're going to learn all of Spanish today. It's like, crap, how do I do that? Right? It sounds good in theory, but you can't take it all in. It's too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the starting point is getting your chart and then allowing yourself to learn the basics about your own chart. In at a speed in which you can actually take it in and use it, right? So the first place I always start is with type. And basically there's five broad types and two of them are like cousins. So those two are generators and manifesting generators. Mm-hmm. So they're both generator types and together they make up 68% of the population. Watching you, I'm fairly sure you're either a generator or a manifesting generator.
I'm not, actually.
Are you a projector?
Yeah, I am.
Then no wonder you've been like feeling the pull of like, oh my God, I can't work this hard.
Yes. The very small amount that I understand about human design gave me permission to go, oh, I'm tired. All right, I'm going to take a break. That's what I got out of it so far.
Yes. That's the only, like, there's only a couple of things that I'm like, if I see a projector in passing, that's one of them. It's like, stop working so hard. Just sit on your ass and do nothing. Like every day. have breaks about, you know, have breaks. So you've obviously very cleverly leaned on the support of other generators and manifesting generators for you to be able to achieve the amount of business growth that I just perceive in watching you online, because obviously this time is the first time we've had a conversation.
Mm.
So you've done very well in being able to leverage off that energy of other generators and manifesting generators.
Thank you.
and probably got very tired and sick and burnt out a few times along the way as well, right?
I did in the past, yeah. I've had glandular fever and adrenal exhaustion and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I learned different this time. And I actually, it's funny, I thought that I was going to work, you know, 9 to 5, but not even. Like, I wanted like an 8 to 6 p.m. or longer kind of job so I could be really important and people would have to ask me questions all the time. And then I saw a woman speak And she made the same in one day that I made in an entire year working in retail at the time. And I was like, okay, so she's probably got a really big company behind her. You know, there's a lot of people. No, she was like, I ended up becoming her first employee. And so that showed me that there was another way of working that could give you more time freedom. And I was hooked from then on.
Yep.
And I still went back to my old ways of working quite a few times, but I've now figured it out. Working on the beach, hanging out with my puppy, and when I do work, I find that I work a lot better because I've taken those breaks.
Is that
a projector thing?
Yeah. Like I'm also a projector, and we're just not designed to work hard. Like working hard, doing something that you love, is really good for generators and manifesting generators. That 68% of those two sort of subgroups, they're great at working hard. Now, it's really important that they work hard doing stuff that they love and that they still listen to their own flow. Like, you know, a manifesting generator is going to be an energizer bunny and going to be able to manage multiple projects at once and have a lot of energy to work 10 or 12 hours a day when they really are juiced by what they're doing. And they can still go to the gym. And like one of my long-term clients is a manifesting generator. And from one week to the next, the number of things that she does, it's like, oh my God, it would take me all quarter to do what you did in the last week. Right? But that's just her energy level. So they're designed to be the great builders of society. They're the ones that have the energy to pour into everything. They're great people to have as support people for you and I, so then we can be leading the vision of what we're creating, but then have that consistent drive from the team who like working hard, as long as they're doing the work that's right for them, and they can be supporting us to be able to do the things that we want to create. So, and it's really important to note, generators and manifesting generators are all still totally capable of being entrepreneurs. Being a worker doesn't mean that you're an employee. It can be. All of us can be employees or can be entrepreneurs. It's just that they've got, you know, they can do so many more hours than us, Kiara, and still stay healthy.
Good on them. I wish I could. I can't.
No, but we have different gifts, right? So as a projector, which is the next group, it's about 22% of the population, we are designed to see really deeply into other people, right? So we make really great coaches, mentors, guides, and we can have really deep, intimate conversations, and we're designed to really do that one-to-one. So even when I speak to an audience, I'm speaking to that audience as an entity, and then so it's that entity and me on stage speaking like that. And then if somebody asks a question, our energy field, because it's all about energy fields, I'll explain that in a second, my energy field will switch and zone in on that one person to the exclusion of everyone else. Now everyone else gets to listen, but I'm totally focused on that person who's asking a question. And then I'll zoom back out to the entire entity, which is the audience as a whole, right? So the types are really about how does your energy field behave? In the scientific world, they call it an energy field. In the scientific world, we call it an aura. It's the same thing. It's this big bubble of energy that extends out in multiple meters on a normal day until we like do something like this, where you and I are influencing and interacting even though we're about 6,000 kilometers away from each other, right? Maybe not quite, maybe 1,000. Maybe 1,500. But either way, more than 3 meters.
I have no idea.
Right? It's a long way. It's a long way from you and I at the moment. And so that's why it's really important and why it makes such a pivotal difference to relationships, because two people will come together and we're so used to using our mind to go, oh, do I think this person is smart or clever or pretty, or can they teach me something? Can I get something from them? Can I give them something? Like, there's all this mind chatter, but actually our energy field has already been communicating before we even open our mouths, and sometimes before we can even see the other person. And so you and I, as projectors, we're designed to be invited into new relationships because we go so deeply into our relationships. We need to be invited because most people, the average person, doesn't want to have a deep conversation at a moment's notice.
What? So when I go to networking groups and I say, so what really lights you up? Like, why are you even here? They're like, oh, so, yep, okay.
So you can ask that as a projector, and I love getting those questions. Yeah. And I'm busy asking those, but most of the population doesn't want that. Because their energy field is just not set up for it, and they're... And that's why, you know, each type has a strategy, Kiara, that's linked to it. And our strategy as a projector is to be invited for that reason. Because you went deep and they weren't ready.
Do you know, I find though that when I go deep, I give other people permission to do the same. So in the times when I've revealed stuff about myself that most people would keep hidden, I recently just on a random, I'll go off on a little side tangent here. I recently did an NLP training course and we were talking all about what we've learned about orgasms and yoni massages and stuff like that. And as I was talking, because I'm such an open book, the women were like, can you teach us this? Like, you know, and then they got to share their stuff that was quite personal as well. And so I find that my level of going deep attracts people who will open up. And I think that I hope that for everyone, if you're listening to this, that if you share your authentic self or something that makes you feel vulnerable, or you share a truth that you wouldn't usually share, I feel it invites other people to step into that space as well.
Yeah, totally. And I I operate very much from a similar way now. Like most of the people who will follow me in those Facebook groups, there's that level of trust and knowing with me even before we get on a call, because I've done exactly that. I've shared really deeply and vulnerably of myself. But what I really am paying attention to, Kiara, is if I've created a circle, a space for people to step in, I notice who has stepped in, because by them stepping in, they've invited me to continue that conversation. And there will be people who choose not to step in, which means they haven't invited us.
Okay. All right. So you're saying that we're going to get to the other ones as well, ladies. Just if you're listening, we are going to get to the others, not just mine. The type is the projector. We're really good at seeing deeply into people and having deep conversations. And I find that that's one of the things that I love the best about being a coach. And I've actually had sessions with a spiritual coach, sort of. And she said that one of the things that I do the best is being able to connect people where they're at now to their true essence, and how then they can move forward from where they're now and like where they should be, or where they were designed to be, what their purpose was when they came into the world. So I totally get that. So you're saying then that that's our type, and then our strategy is that we should wait until we're invited.
Yeah.
What does that actually look like? Say if you're, I mean, let's go not business for an example. Like say if you're dating, how does that look?
It looks like you showing up as your most real self and then seeing who sees you and goes and starts engaging. Like says, oh, hey, you know, and like starts a conversation that might turn into dating, right? That might turn into more conversations, right? So an invitation doesn't mean, hey, Kiara, I want to do X, Y, and Z with you. It means that there is an invitation for the conversation to start, or to open up, or to continue, or for the relationship to further deepen.
Okay, I think I'm understanding. So from an energetic spiritual level, and that's okay, we can go quite woo-woo, I think, on this podcast. From that level, it's almost as if you show up and then people around you in your space who you may have already had like soul contracts to work with, or who may feel guided to work with you, they will come to you. And then you will know that as they come to you, that you're meant to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Awesome. So you said type, strategy, and then what was the third thing?
Authority. So what I want to do is let's finish off the types. So generators and manifesting generators together make up 68%. Then there's the projectors, which is us. Then there are the manifestors. Manifestors are about 8-ish% of the population, and they're the great starters. They're the ones who like walk into a room and get the party started. They're the ones who, like in a dating context, go, oh, he's cute, she's cute, walk up, start a conversation, and then, you know, a month later they're you know, they're like well and truly boyfriend and girlfriend, right? So okay. They're the only ones that can get away with this, like, opening new doors, breaking the ice, starting relationships, you know, manifest as long as they are, you know, again, like working on the projects that are true for them. They're the ones who can go knock on doors and cold call, and it's like the breaking the ice, it's the starting. And a manifestor's energy field is designed to do that because it pushes outwards, right? So it's like it pushes the door open. It's like it pushes it, it's like it breaks through the ice of a brand new relationship, right? Mm. And so manifestors are the only ones really who can like do a cold start on anything. Mm. And that's what they're built for. They're built to start things, to initiate things.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Cool. So when you say the only one, so the only word I have a bit of a funny thing about, because I think that there are no rules, you know, and we can all play with that. Do you mean the only ones who are naturally designed to do that? Because I can walk into a room and start a conversation and I'm a projector.
Mm.
Ones who find that the most natural and the easiest, or are you saying that you think that there are rules and that?
I love the challenge. I love the challenge. Because actually there's something that breaks all the rules, which is inspiration. And I find that if I'm inspired to follow something, then actually it's like me being a projector kind of, or it momentarily flies out the window, right? It's kind of like it breaks through everything. But I do know that yes, a manifestor finds his or her flow.
Mm-hmm.
By starting things, by getting the ball rolling.
Okay.
They have the very best chance of being most in flow of all people by being the one who gets to call the shots, be in charge, start the project, start the conversation. That's where their flow is.
Mm, okay. Right? So if the people who are listening are manifestors, then they would be good at like maybe business development because they're going out constantly like building new relationships or innovation, things like that.
Yeah. But it's also the way that they build business because, you know, I think of a woman who I'm quite close with who I've studied some of her work, she's studied some of my work. We're both business coaches, but the way that she coaches and the way that she runs her business is really different to mine. And I know that when her and I are looking at doing anything together, I always wait for her to invite me, right? Because I know that if I, as a projector, go knock on her door, she'll be like, I'm busy, go away. I love you, but I'm busy, go away. Whereas when she comes and knocks on my door, she's in flow and it's so much about flow. It really is. It's like when we follow our strategy for our specific type, we maximize flow, not only in our relationship, but in our relationship with each of the different types, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about being able to maximize your flow.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, cool. And there's so much like I can do a whole 1 hour talk just on applying, you know, a manifestor strategy to business. In fact, I have. I think it's one of my products on my website. You know, so each of these, we can dive so much deeper. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's only a certain amount that we can get through in a podcast.
Yeah.
But the final one, which is important to cover off, and they're only 1% of the population. So far, I've met a grand total of 4, and they are called reflectors. And okay. Reflectors are super, super, super sensitive human beings that are designed to reflect how we as individuals and as a collective are evolving. And they're super, super deep. And they're designed to be, they get really tired. If they're in business, they really need to spend probably being in business or having a job where they can have a lot of time alone, mm-hmm. in their own energy field is what's needed to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And they're really designed to reflect. So, I mean, you'll know this, Kiara. There's certain things about you that you will have become conscious of that over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you show up and you're like, oh, yeah, this is a consistent part of me, right? This is consistent, I can rely on this. And then there'll be other things where you realize maybe you feel the feelings of other people, or you hear the thoughts of other people, or you feel their direction in life, and you notice that that sways and moves and changes dramatically depending on who you're spending time with.
And
when you look at a human design chart, you can see the 9 centers, and whether they're colored in or white says a lot about where do you show up consistently and where are you totally affected by the other.
Right?
So I'm more affected by the other than I am myself, right? A reflector is like 95% of the other. That's why they're called a reflector, because they're almost nothing of themselves, and they're everything of the other person who's in their environment.
Oh, that sounds exhausting. I know.
Which is why they need to spend so much time alone. It's said that for a reflector to stay healthy, they need to do a couple of things. One, they need to spend about 70% of their life alone, which they love. It doesn't sound great for, like, you say that to a manifesting generator and they go, what? I like people. Forget it. And a reflector is like, thank God, get the fuck out of my space.
Someone said that was okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, thank God, all you people and all you noise and all those emotions, get the hell out of my space, right?
Wow, yeah.
So, and the other one is that they need to be, when they are spending time with people, that they need to be picking their closest friends and family and the people they spend time with to be people who are constantly cleaning themselves, becoming more and more conscious, like you and I, where we just end the women who will be listening to this podcast of just going, okay, cool, I'm becoming more and more conscious. So then, you know, when I realize I'm angry, it's like I notice it quickly and then I can delve into why that is and I can go and release that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's got lots of baggage and is really so much in zombie land and not awake at all, that's mm-hmm. really heavy lifting for mm-hmm. a reflector.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing this. This is incredible stuff. It sounds like it makes a real difference. And yes, you're nodding. It really does seem that way. And do you feel that, I mean, understanding that human design has certain percentages of like how much of the population are those percentages, do you feel that it is a part of our collective consciousness growing that we've chosen? It's like designed almost that we've chosen this amount to do this and this amount to do that, and so that we can keep evolving as
a species. That's a great question. I haven't considered it before, and my feeling is that it's possible, yes. It's what's interesting, and any manifestor who hears this probably won't like it very much. Manifestors are said to be, according to the International Human Design School and everything that is that, you know, strong body of work in there, apparently we're not going to have any new manifestors being born after 2027. Apparently we're having another shift. Because the manifestors are, their strategy is to inform. They're the only ones who can go around telling people what to do, right? So when a manifestor tells me what to do, I listen. But pretty much everyone else, I tell them to get stuffed. I'm like, no, don't tell me what to do, right? Because I want to come back to my own inherent wisdom, and you might make suggestions, or I might ask you specific questions about skills, right? Mm. If I want to learn how to write with my left hand and I have no idea, maybe somebody can teach me. Or if I want to learn how to make a water bottle, I'm probably not going to just intuit how to do that. I probably could, but I'm more likely to go to another human being and go, can you teach me how to make a water bottle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But manifestors are designed to tell people what to do and tell people what they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as a consciousness, we're moving away from that. We're moving more and more and more towards realizing that we are God in human form, and that the answers lie within us, and the universe truly lies within us, and it is for us to lead our own path. And so it makes sense to me then that the manifestors are dying out, but we're going to have another 10 years worth of manifestors being born between now and then, and we won't really know if their predictions are correct until we get to 2027 and see whether or not new manifestors are being born. But it leads credence to the idea that you've just said of like, well, hang on, have we chosen that, right?
Mm.
And, you know, it makes sense that the majority, the 68%, are generators and manifesting generators, because we need that, like, workforce. Like, You know, if we look at pyramids, for example, the pyramids in Egypt were totally built by generators and manifested generators. Can you imagine you and I lifting all those heavy stones? It's like, uh-uh.
No. Right?
But we would have been like drawing up the plans, working out what worked, working out what needed improving and tweaking and working out who was the right person for which job. Mm. All that tweaking and improving, projectors are great at that, but don't ask us to do the heavy lifting, right?
And it's not, and do you know what I love about this? It's not because one type is lazy and one type works harder. It's just about your human design. It's your makeup. It's what you were, like, I guess, born and chosen to do in this lifetime.
Totally.
You're going to be great at this and not so great at this. And we all have our own strengths and weaknesses. Is that right? Am I getting
Totally. And that's part of the language that I use when I describe it is like, understand who you were born to be. Because if I look at, I have a good friend of mine who's a manifesting generator and I watch him and he'll get up, like we can get up at about the same time, right? If we both got up at 6 o'clock, he will go flat out until about 10 o'clock at night and then he'll be exhausted, he'll go to sleep and he'll wake up and he'll do it all over again the next day. And I'm just like, I've tried to keep up with him a few times because, you know, we spent some quite close time together and I look at his life and I go, oh my God, I can't do that. Like, I can tell you where you can tweak and improve things. We can go on some of these adventures together, but even to hang out in his presence all day is exhausting, right? Mm-hmm. But if I ask him to do as little activity as I do, he gets depressed. Right? Mm-hmm. Because generators and manifesting generators, especially manifesting generators, because they're like, instead of just like, any other mammal, like a dog just getting around, they're like an energizer bunny. It's like, the number of children who have been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD who are actually just manifesting generators, who you need to give them, don't ask them to sit still. Give them jobs to do. Give them stuff to do. They want to move, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to ask them to be still and relax and do some of the things that you or I or manifestors or reflectors want to do every day, it's not good for them. They're not supposed to relax the same way that we do. It's not that they can't. It's just that they kind of don't want to most of the time, as long as they're doing the work that's true for them.
So manifesting generators and generators, what do you think in terms of meditation and stuff for them? Do they need to do like that faster yoga stuff first and then maybe like 5 minutes of meditation and move on? Like, can we expect them to do the same meditation?
No, well, one, I don't think it's fair for any of us to should on anyone else. So I think there are so many different ways to do meditation that if it, I like to pay attention to what feels good. Like it feels good for me to sit still and not move my body at all and concentrate on my breath and do a totally silent, totally still meditation. And I do that a couple of times a day and it feels really good for me. But when we discuss that, like I use this example of this manifesting generator because when I first got into human design, I'd seen my chart and I saw his chart. He was the second chart I saw. So I've like dissected it to understand this, right? So I know him really well. And, you know, he would have other like coaches and stuff go, oh, do a still meditation. And I look at him and I'm like, you're crazy. I'm like, you need to meditate. And I'm like, but you're a manifesting generator. I said, just go do your meditation. But do it while you're walking to the pool to go do some laps and then do it again while you're walking on the way home. And he found that if he was doing a moving meditation, he was much better able to do it, right? And I always encourage my clients to like play and see what works. Ditch the shoulds from other people because, you know, coaches and mentors and all sorts of people will come along. Anyone who's keen to give advice, if that's the way they coach or mentor, and obviously not all of us do, but if they don't know anything about human design and the coach is a projector and the client is a manifesting generator and they assume that what worked for the coach must work for the client, we have a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's professionally where human design has made such a difference for me because now, you know, before I had to intuit what might work for my clients, and sure, I use my intuition strongly with my clients, but now I also, every single person I work with, the very first thing I need even before a session is their detail so I can look up their human design chart, because I can very slowly uncover through questions and intuiting helpful suggestions for them to find their own medicine, for them to find the right meditation, the right movement, the right work. But it speeds everything up if I can look at their chart and go, ah, okay, let me teach you about making decisions, which is authority, which you asked about, right? I'm designed to make decisions over 3 to 4 days. But the other half of the population is designed to make a decision in the moment. And I'm like, I need to know this stuff about my clients, right? They often don't know it about themselves. So that's where human design as a tool is so useful, especially for any coach to be able to look at their own client and go, hey, let me tell you about you, so then we can guide you back to yourself as quickly and expediently as possible.
Yeah. I love that, because I have had people come to me and be like, this is how you do it and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, it's like, I don't know, does that work for me? I'm not sure. And I think that it is so important, if you're looking for a coach, to pick one that understands that you're different from them, and they can give you an understanding of, you know, oh, sorry, something just came up on my computer. They can give you an understanding of who you are, or like a framework of like what worked for them, but then you need to piece those two together. So they might be able to tell you more about your human design, and they might be able to tell you more about how they got it there and then what they learned and all their experiences. And then it's so important that you combine those together to really understand more about what will work for you and not just listen to what everyone else says is going to work.
Totally, totally. And if I think about, you know, my dive deck clients, there's a, I'm working with a manifesting generator at the moment. And, you know, in the beginning, there was some teaching her about herself, some of the basics of her chart. But once she understood the basics, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to make decisions in the moment. Great. Okay. And so once she had that, then the majority of our work together has actually been about helping her gain the tools so she can listen to herself, so she can work out what of the stuff we talk about in sessions is true for her. When I say something, did it like catch for her? When somebody else suggests something, which bit for her to be able to discern what is true for her and what is it to ditch? Mm-hmm. I think all of it, Kiara, is really, I think any coach who's doing a really good job is helping their client reach the point where they don't need them anymore, where they don't need us anymore, right? All we're doing is guiding a client back to home, to the truth of who they are. So then they realize they never needed us in the first place. They just needed to know how to listen to themselves.
Absolutely. Oh my God, I'm so passionate about that. When I first became a coach, I used to give lots of ideas and like try to really deliver so much value. And then I realized that I was telling them stuff that worked for me. But what I wanted to really do was help them understand that they have all of the answers within, and that if I can like provide a space for them, often it's easier if you have someone else hold space for you, it's often easier for those answers to come out, but they do have them within. And I so agree with you that if you're ever coming to a point in your life where you're unsure of what to do next, or you know, unsure of like what is right for you, that you really do have the answers within. So find whatever works for you to listen to what is within, and recognize that's your power. Like that's your truth. Like are there some people, because I would say in this point, to come home to you and try to spend some time alone so that you can be away from other people's energy and figure out what is true for you. Are there some types that would be better to be with other people and around a lot of people to be able to make those decisions? Or is it mostly that the human design should be alone?
All of us have a balance of how much time we're is healthy for us to spend alone and spend with others. So if I think of a client, I can see her chart, a client that I worked with heavily while I was in Bali. And she had, you know how I said there's 9 centers and it shows you really clearly from the colors how much you show up as yourself and how much you're affected by others? She was almost all herself.
Cool.
So she was affected by the other in really small amounts, which means for her, it feels really good and really normal and really healthy for her to spend a lot of time around other people, which is good because she has 2 little kids, right? But then if you look at somebody who is a reflector, they're at the other end of the scale, right? They need to spend to be healthy and like really in their who they were born to be, they need to be spending like 70% of their time alone. But if I think of the last reflector I was on a phone call to, she has two little kids. How much time do you think she gets to spend alone? Not very much, right? So her favourite thing to do is to go on massive mountain climbing bike rides where she'll like go and sweat and huff and puff for 2 hours. Why? Because she gets away from everyone else, right? Mm-hmm. She's like working out how to protect and clean her energy field by getting the hell away from people, right? Yeah. So she's just created clever coping mechanisms. We do it naturally, right? One of my favorite things to do, I feel so calm when I'm up a tree, right? When I climb a tree. And I realized when I really sat into this and I was thinking about it just a few months ago, and I was like, why do I know almost no adults who climb trees? Well, one, they care a lot what other people think. Okay, good. Two, why do I feel so calm? I'm out of other people's energy fields, right? Mm. Because I'm climbing up above everyone else. So everyone else is like mingling down here and I'm up in the space. Mm. But then I'm in myself without all these other people's energies floating in and out of me.
Mm.
So much, right?
So can I ask a question? Of course, that's what I'm here doing, right? I'm just so excited. One of the things that I find is that I love people. I absolutely love people. And especially like my partner probably gets in more time with me than most people do. And when I feel like I want to be alone, I'll usually allow him in more than anyone else. So what do you do when you love people, but you kind of crave being alone? Like, I want to live in a treehouse in the forest with no one else around at the same time. How do you balance that? Like, what are your suggestions?
I think that when you are in, I've been doing this a lot, and I think that anyone who's on a path to greater and greater consciousness does this. We start to assess who do we have in our friendship circles, who do we accept in as clients, how much time do we spend with family, like family of origin, or, you know, increasingly as we gain partners and children, etc. And you can't necessarily just ditch the children because you need time alone. That's a bit harder. But particularly if you think about how much time do you spend with family or extended family, of the friends that you have, how honest can you be in those relationships, right? And the relationships where I have no longer felt in resonance with the person, or I found that when I speak my truth, they react and they won't hear my truth. So if I say, you know, oh, hey, you know, I don't feel like hanging out today. I know the friends who really get me and really love me and are really on a path to greater consciousness because they go, oh, thank you for listening to yourself. Or I love you. I'll see you another time. Or, hey, I get it that you need time alone. No worries.
Mm.
And so I have been carefully choosing who I keep in my community, in my one-to-one friendship spaces, based very much on how much do people let me speak my truth without like making it all about them, right? Mm. We only ever make it about ourselves if we don't realize, like we're having an unconscious reaction or when we don't realize it, right?
Mm.
But I think that when we are having more and more really honest conversations, and we can pay attention to our body and go, ah, body says it needs time out. Body says it needs to be alone. Body says it needs to be alone even without my darling partner who I love to bits, right? And so, you know, being able to put ourselves first is so much easier when we're in the regular relationships with people who we can go, hey, I need to hang out by myself today. Well, hey, I just need an hour on my own, you know. I'll come back to you. Well, hey, I'll call you when I'm done. And that is easier when those other people are also people who listen to their body and honour when they need alone time. And so I think it's a ever deepening like communication with the other people around us. Mm-hmm. And there's also I feel like there's also a piece in there of realising some people are not going to be prepared to go on that journey themselves. And I choose self-love first, which means I will release the people from my life who don't help me to be my most healthy, most enlightened self. Mm-hmm. And I get so grateful and so excited and feel so full of love when I turn around to one of my friends and go, hey, babe, this doesn't work today. I need to hang out by myself. And it's not very often, but maybe it'll be like maybe it's as simple as I need another hour before I return their phone call. Maybe it's as simple as I don't open Facebook until midday because I'm like, I'm sitting on my book and I'm reading a couch. I'm going to ignore the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Are you sitting on the book reading the sitting on your book reading a couch, or are you sitting on the couch reading?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, you just need some time alone. That's what's going on. That's really cool. So I think you've talked about so can you just go back through for each of the types? How much time roughly would they want to spend alone?
Oh, it's not directly linked to type, although type is a bit of an influence. Generally speaking, manifesting generators are the ones who are going to do best around lots of people, mm-hmm. followed by generators, followed by probably manifestors, followed by projectors, followed by, with the least amount, as reflectors. Now, that's a generalization. It's a generalization like saying men like wearing pants and women like wearing dresses. It's true a lot of the time, but it's not 100% mm-hmm. true, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that when you look at a human design chart, you'll see those nine centers. The more white somebody has of those centers as opposed to any other color, the more they're going to need time alone.
Okay.
So I have a girlfriend who might watch this who is a generator, but she only has three centers colored in or defined, which means that she does like being around people, but she still needs lots of time for those other six to clean out, to drop everyone else's energy out of her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's just time alone, is it? Are there any other ways that you can clean out those energy centers so you know what's your truth?
Time alone, time in your own energy field. And ideally, like lying down, resting, meditating, sleeping, anything that's truly alone. And by alone, I don't mean like you're in a hotel room or a bedroom with somebody on the other side of the wall, because your energy field goes through the wall, right? It means in your own space. That means get the hell away from other people.
So like in a house and there's other people there, not going to work. You need to be alone.
Yeah. Like if it's a big house and the house is empty and you're in the center of the house, you're probably good. If you're in a tree house and you're like 10 meters off the ground, you're probably good.
Wow.
If you're on a plane, forget about it.
Okay. So nature, time in nature is probably about one of the few places that you can actually get that these days.
Yeah. And you can. I mean, like I'm in a quite a big house, and when nobody else is home here, I'm in my own energy field. I mean, I'm not right now because I'm connected with you, mm-hmm. but when I switch off the computer, I'll be in my own space again. Right? Mm-hmm. So time alone. It's like, I just think it's the most beautiful gift for us to give ourselves. And manifesting generators, again, at like that sliding end, because manifesting generators tend to have a lot of color in their chart. Mm-hmm. They don't need much time alone, but you still need chunks. You still need chunks of solo time. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So we've gone through so much already. Can you tell us about the authority stuff, and then we will let you go and rest and be in your own energy.
So authority is about how you're designed to make decisions. Mm-hmm. So it's authority, I call it authority, it's your inner authority, as in listening to myself to know my own decisions, my own truth. Now, we've been conditioned, Kiara, to go, oh, I have to make a decision. Let me make it in my mind by thinking and writing pros and cons list and like having conversations with other people and getting their great ideas. No. Mm-hmm. We all are naturally designed to make a decision some way, and about 50% of the population is designed to make decisions the way I am. I haven't seen your chart, so I don't know how you're designed to. Mm-hmm. And that is by waiting 3 to 4 days before making any decision. Will I date that guy? Will I take on that client? Will I take out that speaking opportunity? Will I start this new project that I think would be pretty cool, right? And it works together with your strategy and authority, obviously, mm-hmm. because, you know, a manifestor will just go, oh, I have this great idea. Okay, let me consider what my authority is before I just go start it and tell everybody this is what I'm doing, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't work for us. We need to be invited to do things. I need to be invited to coach anybody. I can't just knock on someone's door and go, hey, I think it'd be great if I coached you.
Okay, all right.
Cool. If I see deeply that I could, right? Mm. So then the next most common is sacral authority. So that's people who are designed to make decisions by listening to their gut sounds. So uh-huh or uh-uh. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. Uh-uh. No. Now, you and I will not be this because it's only for generators and manifesting generators. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be a feeling as well, like the feeling just rises up as this warm feeling of like, oh, yeah, that feels good, or this shrinking feeling in your gut that goes, uh-uh.
Mm.
Right. So if somebody is listening to this and watching this and they have their chart and it says sacral authority, then see if you can start to listen to your uh-huh and uh-uh and then just follow it. Ignore what your mind says. Follow it. You'll go on a great adventure and have so much more flow.
Good.
And then splenic authority is only about 10% of the population. This can be manifestors or it can be projectors. Mm-hmm. And this is a really deep, instinctive, intuitive knowing.
That's me.
Right.
Yes.
Deeply psychic, right?
Okay.
And you have to listen in the now. Have to listen because it whispers and it's gone.
Cool. Yeah, because I was like 3 to 4 days, that's not me. Like when I know, I know.
Yeah. And you'll know in the instant. It's mm-hmm. the same thing that allows you to know that somebody's pregnant before they know.
Mm.
Right? Mm. But it's like you have to listen and it's instantaneous. Like you'll know if you can trust somebody the moment you meet them. I don't know, I can make some clever educated guesses. I can rely on my wisdom that I've accumulated. You know at a deep level, this person is healthy for my survival or they're going to hurt me.
Oh.
Because it's a deep animal instinct.
Right? I really do feel that. And I'm sure, like, what are the benefits of the 3 to 4 days thing? Because that feels like it's really helpful for survival. So I'm sure that there's a benefit to the longer decision-making process. What are the benefits of that?
What's the benefits of Kiara's hair being straight versus curly? They're just different.
Mm, okay.
What's the benefit of Kiara's skin or Carolyn's skin being white, not brown or black? They're just different.
Mm.
It's just how we're designed in this incarnation. Mm. I'm designed to wait 3 to 4 days and you're designed to know in the moment.
Mm.
And if I try and make decisions in the moment, I am totally out of flow and I create disastrous results. If you try and wait 3 to 4 days, you have no idea what your truth is because it's gone.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now I can see that. Yeah, that's so true. Oh my God, Carolyn, this stuff is incredible. This is so valuable. I want everybody to know this. I'm going to tell everybody about this podcast. I tell everybody about every podcast. Anyway. I really want more people to know this. I think this is fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're so welcome. Hey, I want to jump in and tell you, and we won't dive into them, but there are a few other very, very rare decision-making types.
Right? Oh.
So there are people who have what's called an ego authority. It doesn't mean that they're all full of ego. To a degree, we all are. But it's about them being able to make decision based on what do I want, what feels good for me.
Mm.
There is also self-projected authority, which again is needing to be able to have a conversation with somebody else for somebody else to hold space so then you can just hear your own truth. Mm. Projectors.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something called mental authority, which is actually not about the mind. It's actually about being able to have conversations with other people who know you really well. It's the same thing that reflectors need to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Reflectors don't have any authority. All they can do is have conversations with other people who know them really, really well and talk through their options and hear from other people what might be true. Mm-hmm. And also spend time alone to be able to work to take those conversations and let them integrate. So I mean that was a super speedy process, but basically between the emotional authority, which is me, the 3 to 4 days, the sacral authority, which is uh-huh, uh-uh, and the splenic authority, which is yourself, that is about 80%+ of the population right there.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so helpful. It's like I cannot tell you how much human design is. Like if I had to throw away all of the tools that I've ever learned, there is probably only 2 or 3 that I would go, do not dare take this off me, one of them would be human design.
Because
It has improved my relationships and therefore my personal life and professional life more than I can, like I can just feel the amount of gratitude I have rolling through my body going, oh my God, my life is so much better for having this in my life.
I am so grateful that you've shared this with me and with everyone else who is listening. I'm sure that people are going to want to find out more. How can they find you and work with you and learn from you and start to be able to live based on their human design so that they're actually living the way that they designed they wanted to before they even came into this lifetime?
So the easiest spot is looking for my website, which is firstnamelastname.com, so carolinesouthwell.com. And I don't know how soon you're putting this podcast live.
Probably out in a couple of weeks, I think.
Okay. So maybe by then the new site will be live. But either way, there'll be either a coaching page or a work with me page. There'll be links to my YouTube channel as well. So there's a whole bunch of free videos that explain the basics of a lot of those things that we talked about. Then the next step for people, if they want to do some self-study, is to look at the products or resources page, depending on what I've called it on the new website, where I had taught all about projectors for, 60 or 90 minutes and then recorded it. And that's now a cheap downloadable product. So from a self-study perspective, that, and then there's an option to be able to do 1 hour one-off sessions with people to understand the basics of their chart, but more importantly, or just as importantly, how the heck does that stuff apply to my business?
Yes. Okay. I love this. I have actually watched a couple of your videos as well, and I highly recommend looking her up on YouTube, ladies, because this stuff is awesome. I need to go because I'm about to go and look at a house to move in with my partner. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
So grateful. And ladies, I would love to hear your feedback on this show, so please drop us a review on iTunes or even send me an email or something. I'd love to hear what you're thinking and what your human design is and what you've learned from this. Love you so much. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Welcome.
So grateful. Have a lovely day.
Okay. See ya. Bye.